for the now number 68.
Lord, we come before thee now, at thy feet we humbly bow. Oh, do not our suit this say, shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Shall we seek thee, Lord, in vain? Lord, on thee our souls depend, in compassion now we send. Fill our hearts with thy rich grace, tune our lips to sing thy praise, tune our lips to sing thy praise. Grant that all may seek and find thee, a God supremely kind. Heal the sick, the captive free. Let us all rejoice in thee. Let us all rejoice in thee.
We'll get it right here. All right, so let's go ahead and have him lead us in prayer.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we humbly bow before your throne of greatness and mercy, thanking you for your love for us. We thank you, Father, for your only begotten Son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, as your children here, that we have this opportunity to come together, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. We ask, Father, this night that as we sing songs and praises unto thy name, that thou art glorified through us, and that thou art pleased with us. Father, we ask that you be with those that were mentioned by Brother Terry this night. We pray that you be with Grace, with Elaine. We pray that you be with others that were mentioned tonight. We pray, Father, that those that are going through the times with their loved ones, that they can be strengthened, that they might be able to show love and compassion towards their loved ones, Father, and to be able to help in their time of need. We pray, Father, that things that could be done to make them well, whether it be through the doctors or the medicine, we just pray, Father, that you allow this to be so that they could return to a better portion of their much-wanted and needed health. Father, we will be having those of our number here that meets here that will be leaving on the highways and byways. We pray, Father, for their safety. We pray also, Father, for those that are away from us, that you will bring them back to us safely also. As we continue this service to you tonight, Father, we pray that all we do is in the right spirit and the truth that we have behind it. And then most of all, Father, you see the love through our obedience to you that we are giving you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, Father, as we repent of them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Psalm number 435. Number 435. How shall the young secure?
Shall the young secure their hearts and 228, The Christian's Welcome Home, number 228.
Hallelujah. You are my
Sorry. Got here in a hurry.
118. Take time to be holy, number 118.
Scripture reading is from Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verse 1. Ecclesiastes, third chapter, verse 1. For everything there is a season, a time for very purpose under heaven. Well, that's it.
My lesson this evening is about time. Well, thank you, Richard, as always. I guess you can tell how long, in some respects, I've been retired and away from city council meetings. I'm not used to getting set with microphones anymore, I guess. My lesson this evening is on time. I want to thank Richard and David for the handouts that you all have, I believe, in front of you. You know, time is a blessing that we have, but in a sense, we can't control time. The wisdom writer in the ninth chapter of Ecclesiastes and in verse 10 wrote, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol, whither thou goest." We can't stop time. We can't freeze time. This is where we are headed, according to the Bible, according to the wisdom writer of Ecclesiastes. But whereas we can't control time in that sense, we can control how we use our time while we're on this earth, and that's really what my lesson is about this evening. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the 5th chapter and in verse 15, "Look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So how do we redeem the time? How do we make the best use of our time? As Paul wrote, by being careful how we walk, or by being careful how we live our life, by walking wisely, if you will, walking in the light of the gospel. And I believe that the Bible teaches the principle that we're going to be judged in terms of how we have used our time on this earth. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, let's recall the story about the 5-talent individual and the 2-talent individual and the 1-talent individual. And in the 26th and 27th verses of Matthew 25, "But his Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I did not scatter. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the bankers, and at my coming I should have received back my own with interest." Let's recall that the 1-talent person actually, in the story, had that which he had taken away from him, because he didn't walk wisely. He didn't use his time wisely. To borrow terms from my field, he didn't earn a return for his master, did he? Whereas the 5-talent individual and the 2-talent man did. But the 1-talent person did nothing, buried his talent that he received, and did nothing for his master. The Bible teaches that there is an acceptable time for obeying God. As David read in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1, that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. David wrote in Psalms 95, and in verses 6 and 7, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Jehovah, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, oh, that ye would hear His voice. So there is a time acceptable for obeying God. There's a time to hear His voice. And I would suggest to you that that time is today. There's also a time to receive His word. To receive His word and not to harden your hearts. We're finishing a study of Hebrews. And we've seen in the book of Hebrews that these Hebrew Christians were drifting back into Judaism. And the writer of Hebrews writes to them and says, don't do that. You have better things. And not only do you have better things, but I want to warn you not to drift back into Judaism. And one of these exhortations and warnings is contained in the third chapter of Hebrews, in verses 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God, but exhort one another day by day, so long as it is called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, there was still time and opportunity to obey God, to hear the voice of God, to receive His word. And that time is today. And there's a time to confess and repent of our sins. We've talked about this some, actually in the fourth chapter of Romans, where Paul uses David as an example. In that chapter, when you remember that when David heard the word of God through Nathan the prophet, David knew it was time to repent of his sins. I believe David wrote about that in Psalms, the 32nd chapter, and in verse 6. For this let every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him. David talks about a time when God may be found. And in the 26th chapter of Acts, when the Apostle Paul is before Agrippa, and Luke records Paul's statement in the 29th verse of Acts 26. And Paul said, I would to God that whether with little or with much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day might become such as I, except these bonds. So we see in the example of David and in Paul's statement to Agrippa, we see that there is a time to repent of your sins. And that time is today. So there is an acceptable time for obeying God, being today. But what keeps us from using our time wisely? Well, I would suggest that one thing is worldly entanglements. Notice in particular what is said in the 19th chapter of Genesis about Lot. Remember the story when Sodom is about to be destroyed by God? And Lot is told that Sodom is going to be destroyed. And Lot tells this to family members. And even though he tells this to family members, it's recorded in the 16th verse of Genesis 19, but he lingered, and the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, Jehovah being merciful to him, unto him. And they brought him forth and sent him without the city. See, worldly entanglements, what can they do? They can cause us to hesitate when we should flee. They can cause us to compromise when we should contend. Jude 3. They can cause us to procrastinate when we should produce. Jesus taught us that family cares can cause us to use time unwisely. In Luke 9, verses 61 and 62, and another also said, I will follow thee, Lord, but first suffer me to bid farewell to them that are at my house. But Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Family cares can interfere with the wise use of our time. Unbelief. Again, referencing our study in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. These Hebrew Christians were sliding back into Judaism because of unbelief. Unbelief that they could actually, throughout their entire physical lives, lead the life of a Christian. That they could run with patience and endurance the race of a Christian, the life of a Christian. And notice the attitude that Peter wrote about of some who he called mockers. In 2 Peter in chapter 3 and verse 4, that mockers would come, mockers who do not believe would come, and they would say, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. See, everything is continuing. It's going on just as it always has been. So there's no reason to use your time as a Christian. And then, what I've termed personal convenience, otherwise called procrastination. And this is the account of in Acts 24, when Paul is before Felix. And in the 25th verse, and as he reasoned of righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me." So Paul, when it's more convenient for me, I'll let you know and call you back. But this is poor and selfish stewardship of our time. It shows that God is not the first priority in our lives. These kinds of excuses, this kind of procrastination, leads to spiritual death and eternal demise. Let's recall what John recorded in John chapter 9 and verse 4. "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." We can procrastinate and lose time until we have run out of time. Then we have no more time. So how can we overcome these hindrances to the best use of our time? Well, by subordinating or prioritizing, let me back up and say, by subordinating our earthly duties to our heavenly ones. Paul wrote to the Colossians in the third chapter, and in verse 2, "To set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth." The things that are above are eternal. The things that are upon the earth are only temporary. That should help focus our minds on the things which are above, and we do that by seeking first his kingdom, Matthew 6:33. So by properly prioritizing our spiritual matters, by careful living, again, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 5 and verses 15 and 16 about walking, about your walk being unwise or walking wisely upon this earth. In other words, what he was writing to the Ephesians was, use your time for those matters that benefit your soul. Use your time for those matters of obeying God. Take time to consider whether a particular use of my time enhances my faithfulness to Christ. Or will it harm my faithfulness to Christ? And be patient. Run this race as a Christian with endurance. Again, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. So by careful living, and being a consistent example before the world, notice what Paul wrote to the Colossians in the 4th chapter in the 5th verse. To walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. How do you use your time wisely? Paul is actually telling the Colossians here to be an example. So Paul is actually teaching that a wise use of our time is to be an example. By being an example, we influence others. We can be the direct opposite of the one talent individual in Matthew 25. Again, in financial terms, by being an example, we can earn a return on the gospel. Because our influence may cause someone to obey the gospel. The use of our time definitely has an influence on others who are without, who are in the world. And another way to overcome hindrances is to focus in and to remember the brevity and uncertainty of life. As the writer of Psalms wrote in chapter 90 and verse 12, so teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. We all know, according to Hebrews 9 and 27, that we do have an appointment with death. Remembering the brevity of life helps us focus our attention on our souls and on eternity. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter in chapter 4 and verses 16 about through verse 18. That we don't look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. And Jesus is certainly an example of focusing in on the brevity of life. I believe that, if I recall correctly, that in John, I think perhaps 7 times Jesus makes a direct reference to his hour. Once, explaining that his hour had not yet come. Jesus understood all of the prophecies that were made about him. He understood that it was prophesied that he was to die, and that he was to die at a certain time. And let's remember that from the time that he began his ministry on earth until he died on the cross was only approximately 3.5 years. Jesus was keenly aware of the brevity of life. And in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." This emphasizes to us the uncertainty of life, which causes us to think about, if you will, redeeming our time. And I can tell you that you have, you seem to have a special understanding of this verse when you're part of an eldership. Sometimes when Mickey calls me, he will say to me over the phone, "Well, you sound kind of tentative." And I'll say, "Well, it depends on what you have to say." What has come up today? What's happened today? So the brevity of life and the uncertainty of life. So how can we use our time while we're on this earth? Well, I would suggest to you that as Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 12, that you focus in on working out your own salvation. As he wrote to the Philippians, "So then, my beloved, even as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation with those matters, with those works that James referenced in James 2 and 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. By works of faith, referenced by James. These are what lead us to justification. And by study, Hebrews 5 and 12, where the writer of Hebrews writes to these Hebrew Christians, "For when by reason of the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need again that someone teach you the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God." You have need again of someone to teach you the basics. You haven't grown. You're not ready for solid food. Remember, Hosea wrote in chapter 4 and verse 6 that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And being a workman in the kingdom. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. I believe when you read that verse and study it, you see that the emphasis in that verse is on the word workman. To be a workman in the kingdom. When you think back over your time as a Christian in the church, and you think back perhaps over those who you have seen fall away and are no longer faithful, ask yourself the question, were they working? Were they workmen in the kingdom? I would suggest to you that this is a reason for falling away. Second Timothy 2 and 15, that they were not workmen. And, again, to be an example. Use our time to be an example, because we never know how our example may influence someone to become a Christian. Again, to repeat We can be just the opposite of the one talent individual in Matthew 25 in terms of how we use our time. So what happens if we waste our time? Well, as we saw in Matthew 25, our talents are squandered. They're wasted. If we waste our time, our growth is stunted. To use an illustration, there's a very high elevation lake in the backcountry of the Sierras where Jenny and Richard and I have fished, and we've caught a lot of eastern brook trout. But they, no matter what their age is, they're pretty small because they're eating very tiny bugs. That's all they have available for food there. But yet, last summer I went to a different high elevation lake, the Frog Lakes, where the eastern brook trout have solid food there. They have tadpoles and frogs. And I caught one large enough to have mounted. You see, the kind of food you're getting can stunt your growth, or you can develop on the kind of food that you're getting. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, we've all heard sermons on what have been called Christian virtues. To in our knowledge, to add self-control, and in our self-control to add patience, and in our patience to add godliness. But if we waste our time, we won't be adding these characteristics to our lives. Our character won't be developed as a Christian. And last, we can lose our souls. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, in the message to the church at Laodicea, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." They weren't spending their time on works that was promoting the gospel. So God said, "I will spew you out of my mouth." They will lose their souls. So with that, the lesson is yours about time. And as always, we never want to close without offering the invitation of Christ. And with that, or about that invitation, we could talk about a subject related to time, and that is appointments. You know, having to be someplace at a certain time. You know, we are going to have appointments that the Bible teaches us about that we're going to keep, and we won't be late for those appointments. As we've seen in Hebrews 9 and 27, we have an appointment with death. And I believe in John chapter 5 and around verse 29, Jesus made the statement that all who are in the tomb would hear his voice and come forth. We have an appointment with the resurrection. And in his sermon on Mars Hill in Acts chapter 17, Paul made the statement that God had appointed a day in which he will judge the world. So we have an appointment with the judgment. And at this very moment in time, we do have an appointment with the gospel to either accept or reject the gospel. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God, to repent of our sins, to confess Jesus before men, to be buried with him in baptism. And if you've done that, but you haven't walked wisely in this life, this is time and opportunity to make that known and to repent of that and seek his forgiveness. So if we can be of any help at this time, please come forward as we stand and sing the song which has been selected.
Someday you'll stand at the bar on high. Someday your record you'll see. Someday you'll answer the question of life. What will your answer be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be? Fall on your knees, praising the sentence of life or of death. What will that sentence be? What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your spotless and free, washed in the blood of the crucified one, he will your answer be. What will it be? What will it be? Where will you spend your eternity? What will it be? Oh, what will it be? What will your answer be?
Please be seated. Sure.
Do we have any in the audience this evening that needs to partake of the Lord's Supper?